young people like to move rapidly on. And so we will trace now, with God's help, that word Bethel through the Old Testament and on into the New. Bethel, the house of God. And it stretches, beloved ones, over many, many centuries. I would say that from the time when we first read of it would be about 4,000 years ago, in the day of Abraham. So let's turn now to Genesis chapter 12. From the New Testament, we learn doctrine. From the Old Testament, we learn the pictures of that doctrine. But, you know, beloved ones, sometimes in just reading the doctrine, there is a kind of an indifference, isn't there, to the claims of God over your life and mine. But then when we look into the Old Testament, why, we see wonderful pictures of this doctrine. But there are two dangers. One is that we would, with our heads, take up these stories, find them very interesting for our heads. But, sad to say, secondly, that our heart and our conscience is not awakened. They're not awakened. And we just ask this afternoon, we prayed, that the Lord would awaken in your heart and in your conscience the truth that is hidden so beautifully in the shadows of the Old Testament. So we're going to read now about just a verse or two in Genesis 12 about Abraham. Abraham has heard that call of God. He has separated himself from Ur of the Chaldees. He went out not knowing whither he went, and he came to this land that God had promised him. He arrives there. He goes first to a place called Sychem or Shechem, which we will be speaking of occasionally, and there the Lord appeared unto him. It's a wonderful thing now. I want to emphasize this appearing, the Lord appearing to him. Oh, may the Lord become so precious to you that he appears to you and me. And so, let's read those verses now. Verse 6, Genesis 12. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai or Ai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now here we find, dear young people, the first time that we have this word Bethel, the house of God. And the Lord appeared to him at that place. It's a wonderful thing. He built an altar there. He built a tent in that area. We find that there were four times that Abraham built an altar. And here was the first time. And the Lord appeared unto him. Now then, let's go on in the years on to the 28th chapter. Now his son Jacob has come along. We won't have time to go into the stories, but they're very worthwhile reading. Jacob, the supplanter, is under discipline now. He is going away from his father's home, and he's on his way up to Haran. On the way, the Lord intercepts him. Oh, isn't that nice when the Lord intercepts us on our road? He even though it may be a road under discipline, the Lord loves you and me, and he wants to arrest us. And so we find now Jacob interrupted now on his way up to Haran. We'll just read a verse to show. That's 28 and 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now let's go on down to the 16th verse, or the 15th. 15th verse. And behold, the Lord speaking now to Jacob, behold, I am with thee. Nice thing to remember, nice thing to hear, isn't it? The Lord is with us, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Oh, he became conscious now of the Lord's presence. What a wonderful thing it is for you and for me to be conscious of that, of the Lord's presence. He became conscious of it. Nevertheless, he was in a bad state of soul. He wasn't able to understand many things, but there he was. The Lord, he was able to say, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? You see, he wasn't in the confidence that we were hearing about this morning. He wasn't in the confidence of the Lord's presence. He wasn't able to speak to the Lord with a clear conscience. He was really running away. Nevertheless, oh, it's wonderful to see that the Lord gives him these beautiful promises. He was never going to leave him, and he was going to bring him back into that land. Dear young people, oh, there's a promise that the Lord says, he that hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What he has undertaken, he's going to carry out for you and for me. Blessing ahead and enjoyment presently if you and I listen to what the Lord says. But he said, how dreadful is this place? Well, he wasn't really in the enjoyment of it. And this is the way you and I sometimes feel when there's coldness in our souls. We may say, how dreadful is this place? We don't see beauty in it. And then he says, this is none other but the house of God. There's the word Bethel. The house of God. He recognized it. And this is the gate of heaven. Oh, isn't that lovely? The gate of heaven. It opens up to you and me, beloved ones, heaven. And the gate is right here now. You and I are in that gate. And heaven opens up to us. And so here he is in this place. And he says, this is the gate of heaven. Now let's go down to the 19th verse. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. He recognized that now, and oh, may you and I too realize that the Lord is with us, and that the gate of heaven is open for us to be attracted by that blessed person who has gone ahead of us. Now let's go on to the 31st chapter. Jacob has gone on now. He has behind him 20 years. He's been in that land away from the Lord. Oh, how the Lord measures that time when we're away from the Lord. It may be there are some young people here today that you're growing cold in your soul. Oh, may this be a message to you that the Lord loves you. He wants to draw your heart back. It's the only path of happiness. You know that down deep in your heart. And so the Lord now is working in Jacob. And so we read in the 31st chapter, and the third verse. And the Lord said, notice that it's the Lord. We're going to see a change, but here is the Lord. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. There's a nice little word for you and for me when we get cold in our souls. Return. Return. Like those two that walked to Emmaus, and the Lord joined them. They were in the wrong direction. They were going away from God's appointed center. And then in that little village of Emmaus, the Lord opened up their eyes. He appeared to them. Instantly, immediately, says the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. Ah, their hearts had been touched. May the Lord touch our hearts. What would he say to us? Return. Return. Have we got cold in our souls, dear young people? Oh, may we get this word, return. The Lord is ever wanting to draw us back to himself. Now let's go on to the 13th verse. Lovely reminder to Jacob as it had been to Abraham. Same words. 13th verse. I am the God of Bethel. Isn't that nice? I am the God of Bethel. He would remind him. He would bring him back to that basic point again. The Lord always wants to bring us back to that which was at the beginning. And he reminds him, I am the God of Bethel. Now let's go on another chapter or so to the 33rd chapter. The Lord had called him, as we read, to go back. But, like many of us, we get diverted on that way back. And it was no different with Jacob. Oh, how wonderful this is. I hope you're getting this. That this is maybe the story of some young one here this afternoon. The Lord has recorded this so beautifully. If you and I have ears to hear what the Lord is saying to us. So we read in the 17th verse of that 33rd chapter, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth. Oh, he wasn't heading, at least he might have been heading back to Bethel, but he's diverted now, and here he finds himself, or at least he goes, to another place. Now there are four or five little lessons that we can see and learn from this. Let's see what it says. And Jacob journeyed toward Succoth and built himself, Mr. Darby's translation puts in that word, himself, and built himself an house. The Lord didn't tell him about that. He was just taken up with the material things of life. Now, there's nothing wrong with building a house. I don't mean that. But I believe that the truth of it is that in the order in which it is found, we find that he's thinking about himself first, and he builds a house for himself. And secondly, and made booths for his cattle. Oh, now here are his business interests. He's building first his house, and then he's building booths for his cattle. That's what the word Succoth means. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. Now then, 18th verse. And Jacob came safely, Mr. Darby translates that, safely to the city of Shechem, or he came safely to Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan-Aram, that was Haran, and pitched his tent before the city. Third thing now, he's pitching his tent. First his house, then his place for his cattle, and now he has built, he's set up his tent. Now then the next thing, verse 19. And he bought a parcel of a field. Oh, now he is further involved in this. Was this the place that the Lord had for him? No, it was a far richer place, but he got diverted. And so it is so often in these days of affluence and prosperity, how easy it is, beloved ones, to be taken up with these things. And so he bought that parcel of ground. And then the 20th verse, and he erected there an altar and called it El Ohi Israel, God, the God of Israel. The fourth or fifth thing that he does now is to build the altar. He does build the altar, but it's last. It's last. Well, what a danger this is, beloved ones, to you and to me, to be taken up with that which is a digression from what the Spirit of God would draw you and me back to, and that is to Christ. Now let's go on a little bit farther to the 35th chapter, first verse. Now it changes. It doesn't say the Lord, but it says God. Just a little bit of a removal now, because I believe that he had been distracted and he had been turned aside. And yet, oh, isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord would tell you and me that though we might realize that we need his love, oh, how he would love to remind us that your love and mine is desired by him as well. And so here we read in that first verse, and God said unto Jacob, arise. He'd got settled down there with his house for himself and his cattle, and he'd bought the land, got his altar there, but it wasn't the place of God's appointment for him. And so the God said, arise. Oh, may the Lord stir our hearts this afternoon. If we are settling down in this world, may that word awaken us. God said unto Jacob, arise. And then he says, go up. Doesn't say go down. Go up to Bethel. That's where the Lord would have him. That's where the Lord was going to be. That is where the Lord had appointed that place for him. That was what, as we see in the next little phrase, where the Lord wanted him to dwell. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Didn't say anything about buying, building a house or business. Just dwell there. Oh, isn't that lovely? That's what the Lord wants for you and for me. He wants us to be dwelling in his presence. Well, let's go on. Second verse. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto the Lord. Well, a flood of light now dawns on Jacob. It might have been all right for him to have had those gods when he was in Succoth, but it was no place for him to have those gods when he was going to be at Bethel, the house of God. And you know, beloved ones, there are all kinds of associations about us today, and they make a great appeal to us, and they might just cause our conscience to be not awakened, and we might be able to settle down there. But oh, when the Lord would attract your heart and mine, as I said, a light just awakened him to the fact that there were things in his life that shouldn't be. And so he calls his family together, all those circumstances that he was going on with that weren't suited to the Lord's presence, and he gets rid of them. May there be that attraction and the consciousness too, that when the Lord would draw us to himself, that there may be that consciousness, that there might be things that were going on within our life that are not pleasing to the Lord and wouldn't be suited to his presence. Sixth verse. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Well, he has another little name now, and he adds on the word El. That means God. God, the house of God. Well, someone has one time mentioned that that's like the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, the God of Bethel. Oh, that was the place. Have we got cold in our souls, dear young ones? Oh, the Lord would attract us back to that place where we're going to be conscious of his presence and where he appears to us, filling our hearts with joy and gladness. Now then, ninth verse. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. He was in obedience now. He had obeyed, and the Lord blessed him. Do you want the Lord's blessing? Oh, it's only through obedience. But he will bless you. He will bless each one of us. He desires that above all else, that we would be blessed. And so the Lord blessed him there. Now what else? Tenth verse. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Ah, he got a changed name. Well, I was visiting a young couple some time back, and someone called him by his nickname. And he said, please don't call me by that name anymore. My name is so-and-so. He said, that nickname reminds me of my days in the world. I don't even want to have that name anymore. Well, isn't that nice? Jacob got a new name. It was his Christian name, as it were. Oh, how are you and I? What name do we go by in this life? Are we walking with the Lord, and are we recognized as one who walks with the Lord Jesus? Then our name is going to be connected with him. And so the Lord gives him a new name, the Prince, a Prince with God, Israel. Now let's go down a little bit farther, 19th verse. A very sad turn now. Well, we'll read the 15th. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spake unto him, Bethel. There it is again. Now then, 16. And they journeyed from Bethel. Well, he didn't stay there. The Lord had said to him, dwell there. He doesn't. We would think after all that the Lord had done that there would be that desire to say there, no. What's the consequence? We won't take time to read it, but there were two very sad things. And that is that one that he loved, Rachel, the darling of his heart. He laid her down under that oak tree just as they were coming into Bethlehem. He lost the love, the treasure of his heart. Sometimes the Lord has to speak to us, doesn't he? That was the first thing. The second thing is that the eldest son got into the worst immorality in the 22nd verse. Oh, isn't that the characteristic of the day? So much immorality around us, you dear young ones. I know you're exposed maybe more to it than we who are older. But, oh, there's a voice in it to keep away from it. Where had Jacob made his mistake? Why, he had left Bethel. And here were some of these consequences. Now let's go on in our thoughts into 1 Kings. Promises, he was never going to leave him, and he was going to bring him back into that land. Dear young people, oh, there's a promise that the Lord says, he that hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What he has undertaken, he's going to carry out for you and for me. Blessing ahead. and enjoyment presently if you and I listen to what the Lord says. But he said, how dreadful is this place? Well, he, as I said, he wasn't really in the enjoyment of it. And this is the way you and I sometimes feel when there's cold. Into 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 12. Several hundred years have gone by now. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, loses part of the kingdom. There is a division. We're living in such a day, aren't we? When not only just two divided as in those days, but as I often mention, 750 different groups of Christians today in the world. Maybe some in every one of those groups on their way to glory. But it's what a divided house it is today. Jeroboam is the king of this dissident group, this divided country, kingdom now. And what does Jeroboam do? Let's read about him. 25th verse, 1 Kings 12. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go again to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. Now let's just stop there. Oh, now here we find Bethel. What has it sunk down to? Oh, it is a place where there is going to be a false god. Oh, how you and I need to be warned in these dark days. Does God ever give you and me a choice as to the place where we're going to worship him? Never. Never. But here this king who has divided God's people, Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin over and over again, it tells us this. Here he sets up a choice. One place in Dan, way up in the north, and here in God's appointed place where God had met in Bethel, he gives them those choices. And he sets up not only an altar there, let's just look on a little bit farther. Verse 30, and this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan, or as far as Dan. Well, he made false priests in the 31st verse. And the 32nd, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month. Never was there ever a feast of Jehovah on the 8th month and the 15th day of the month. It was the last month, the 7th month and the 15th day, when there was that Feast of Tabernacles. But here an imitation. Jeroboam makes an imitation, and on the next month and the 15th day, why, here he sets up this day. Imitation, you know, everything that God does, Satan has got an imitation. And if you and I just drift away from the Lord, if we get our eye off the Lord, we're going to be caught up in those imitations as they were here. Middle of that 32nd verse. So did he in Bethel, and sacrificed unto the calves. 33. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. Well, all coming out of the heart of a man that has turned away from the Lord. Are we following people of this kind? Are we deceived by them? Oh, beloved ones, we are in great danger. If we once get our eye off the Lord, we're going to lose the discernment. And we're going to be saying, well, what's the harm in this and what's the harm in that? And somebody chooses one thing, well, I can choose another. Oh, as I said, the Lord has one path for you and for me. And that path is the path of obedience. Now the next chapter, just very briefly, I'll just tell you a little bit about it. I'll just read that first verse. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Well, we just stop there. You know, the Lord couldn't draw those people back now because they were in such a bad state of soul. But is the Lord going to let them go on with this? No, indeed. He's not. But he sends a man there, a man of God, with a warning. Well, may you and I get those warnings from those that are raised up of God. It might be even your own father. Are you listening to the voice of the Lord through those who are walking with the Lord? Oh, the Lord had to send this prophet, this man. Now let's, second verse, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests and the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now the Lord was pronouncing a judgment there on this false place. It was a real warning to them. Judgment, though it may be deferred, as we find in Ecclesiastes 8, that men's hearts think that because judgment is deferred, that it's not going to fall, but it did fall, and so God pronounces this judgment. Now let's go on to the 12th chapter of the 2 Kings chapter 2. Now here we see three very grave dangers. Elijah, it's the day of Elijah. Hundreds of years have gone by. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is going to be caught away to heaven. I'll just pick up a verse. The second chapter of 2 Kings, second verse. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now let's go over to the 16th verse. Here we see the first of the three dangers. Young men, the sons of the prophets. Well, I'd just like to say this to you young men that are here. There's a little message here. These young men, sons of the prophets, they weren't instructed in God's word or in God's ways, and they didn't have the discernment. Let's read it. 16th verse. The young men, they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Well, they might be strong outwardly, but they weren't instructed in the word of God. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. Now, we won't take any more time. Here we find the first of these lessons, the young men not instructed in the Word of God. Oh, dear young ones here, young men particularly, are you listening in the meetings? Are you getting this wonderful truth that God brings before us? Or are we wasting our years? May the Lord just awaken you young men that are here this afternoon. Oh, the Lord wants to instruct you. And these sons of the prophets, they should have known better. But here they were uninstructed in the Word of God. And they were making this foolish suggestion that maybe the Spirit of God had taken away Elijah and that he could find him somewhere on the mountains. Why, Elijah was in heaven. But they didn't know that heavenly truth. That's one danger. Now let's look at the next one. 19th verse. The men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. Let's stop there. Here's the second danger. The men of the city. Oh, were they uninstructed? Couldn't say that about them, but they were quite taken up. They were indifferent. They were taken up with the material things of life. Oh, isn't this a word to those of us who are older? They were totally indifferent to what Elisha was concerned about, the taking up to heaven of Elijah. And here they're taken up with the condition of the city and of the water that is there that wasn't sweet. Now then, the third one, down in the 23rd verse. Here are the children. Had the young men, the fathers, and here now the children. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children, or youths, out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Now let's stop there. Oh, isn't this a day when there is mockery of the Word of God? Might not be young men that are not instructed. Maybe it's not that the older ones are indifferent to the Lord's claims. But oh, as we see the younger generation coming up, mockery, mockery. What a contrast this is to the Epistle of John, chapter 3, I think it is, where the fathers there, the young men and the children, they were going on in the knowledge of God. Here we find these three solemn warnings. Well, we know what happens there in that 24th verse. Judgment came and fell upon those young ones. And so there was God's word. He was faithful, but he allowed that dreadful judgment to fall. Now then, let's go on to the 23rd chapter. 300 years go by again. 15th verse, 2 Kings 23. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both in the altar, that altar, and the high place, he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted them according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Now let's just stop there. Oh, beloved ones, it took years, hundreds of years, I believe about 300 years, but God's word was fulfilled. We're living in dark days, and it looks as if judgment is deferred, and that God, as people say, well, he's not seeing what's going on. Oh, beloved ones, may we be aroused to realize the Lord lives, and we're living in dark days. Judgment is coming. This world is not going to be allowed to go on, and we're just at the brink of the coming of the blessed Lord to take us away. Judgment is coming. Well, this is the end of the story as far as the Old Testament is concerned, and it would be a sad note to end on, but let's now turn briefly to the New Testament and see what God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 4. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. There's that Bethel again. That judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Oh, God's Bethel still goes on. All those who know the Lord Jesus Christ are in that house. It's a dark day. It's a divided day. And some of us may be going through quite serious trials. I see it more and more. More and more tears are falling from the eyes of the Lord's people these days. And I believe that as the days get darker, there's going to be more. Oh, it's coming down upon us, beloved ones, because the days are so dark. Oh, and yet, oh, what a wonderful thing to realize that it is only the Lord speaking to us. May we just see in every one of these things that the Lord allows to happen in your life and mine is all for blessing, all to draw you and me back to Himself, in order that He might appear to us, in order that He might bring upon us the enjoyment of all the blessings that have been brought to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to Hebrews for our last verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. There's our Bethel again. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is the secret now of your and my being able to go on in our Bethel? Oh, it is because our blessed Lord Jesus is our high priest there in the glory now. That's the power that enables you and me to go on in these dark days. That blessed one who has come down and shed His precious blood to cleanse us from all sin. Now it is in the power of that life that He has there in the glory, as we learn in the early chapters of Romans. It is the power of that life now that sustains you. Having an high priest, oh, is it because we would think about ourselves and our efforts? No, indeed, I would point you to Christ this afternoon, dear young people. I would encourage you to know that up in the right hand, at the right hand of God this afternoon, in the glory, there is our blessed high priest. And He is the one that sustains us. We saw a prophet fail. We saw a priest fail. We saw a king fail in those stories that we read of. But oh, we look to a perfect prophet, priest, and king. One who never fails. Will He let us down? Never. There was the failure of the young men. They weren't instructed in the Word of God. There was the failure of the older ones. They were taken up with all the things of life. And there were the children that were mocking at God's Word. All those fail, beloved ones, but Christ never will fail. And He is that blessed one who has undertaken to carry you and me all the way through, right to the glory. Oh, we're just on the verge of seeing His blessed face. May these thoughts just fill our hearts now with the day of coming glory and of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ lives now in the glory. But in the meantime, He would draw your heart and mine and our affections to Himself. How He longs that you and I would be dwelling in our Bethel, the house of God. That place which the Lord has appointed here on this earth, the gathering center, it's Christ Himself. May He become so precious to us. May His blessed person so attract our hearts that we, as we have been singing, that we would see no one else but Christ. Soon we're going to gaze on His blessed face. Oh, may we realize the worth of it all. Though there may be trials and difficulties and temptations, the Lord is able, and He will carry us on and deliver us right into His blessed presence.